we had like a slight instance of like, I actually felt bad because he was trying to like tell me this theory and I was like, Brian. I was like, I don't even think you necessarily, you believe what you're telling me right
most
now.
Most of the things I say, I don't actually believe, yeah. But I was talking to Peter like when we went climbing, like just because I don't believe, it's more fun. Like yep. Sometimes it's just fun. The world's fucked up enough. Like it's just fun to think aliens are real.
One of my
like,
friends,
why not?
I do think aliens are real.
Yeah.
But one of like my friends in Miami, keeps telling me that birds are fake and they're just like government.
Yo,
have you ever seen a bird sleeping?
I'm so in on that. Remember that time
Dude,
when the
I
government
I can't tell
like,
if she's joking or not.
No,
that's
no, no.
Thing.
Remember that time when the government shut down for like a week? Did you see a bird? No, you didn't because they were all at the White House recharging. That's why the government shut down.
We need to demonetize on YouTube. All the $0 I was going to make right now.
The other thing. Money. Other thing I've heard is, have you ever seen your neighbors bringing groceries?
Oh, yeah. A lot of stuff is coming up like that. Where yeah. It's like, we live in a simulation. Nothing's real.
I feel like I see people bringing groceries all the time here.
I do, too.
I don't.
My neighbor across the street is always bringing groceries in.
My neighbor across the street gets their groceries like delivered like by like Uber Eats or whatever. So.
Hell yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Good money.
Episode 54.
Anyway.
Episode 54. Possibly episode 53. So this is my first time like banking an episode officially. I've generally been good about like releasing stuff like next day, 2 days after. And this will be the first time that we're delaying just a tiny bit because I got busy. I got life happening. Yeah. And I need to get some episodes done before my life gets too busy.
Yeah.
So no episode happens. 54, I think possibly 53 if I fuck up or if someone cancels in the middle of the week. And if they do, shout out to them. You fucked me. But
if they cancel, I'm coming back again.
Oh,
that's
hell
your
yeah.
punishment.
And that's the other great thing. I think you're the first three-timer here now.
No, I think you've had Jay three times.
I thought so, but I think I've only had him like technically twice, and then once was on like the before era. Know. So I'm not sure. So you're either the first, or you're joining Jay, or someone else that I'm forgetting about. I'm going to feel terrible about.
How many
about.
Times has Sean been on?
I think twice.
Oh, damn.
And again, these are all I thinks, and if I'm wrong, Let's it's going to be real embarrassing and real fucked
Let's
up
go.
For me.
I should know this, too, because I listen to all the episodes, but it's fine.
Shout out, my man. More people need to be like Ryan. Yo, before we dive like into me. Stuff. So before we dive into things, first things first, Chain Twist Show, February 10th, Wallingford. Go see the boys.
Punch
go.
Peter in the face.
Punch Peter in the face, yes. Going right back to the last episode, where we left off here.
JK's not
going to
be there.
More importantly here is a new Blind Euphoria collection is currently out.
Yes,
so we are releasing this Monday. So hopefully the collection came out Friday, assuming that nothing happened in the universe and the internet
yeah, oh
didn't
boy.
Go down.
It'll be there.
All went well.
It's
no more
be there now.
Patches, drama, or whatever happened.
Dude. Yeah, I mean, it'll be there. Everything has a
Hell
hiccup
yeah.
every time we've done anything with this. So it's been a hiccup. So we've already done the hiccup.
Fire.
So there's no way something
Fire.
Can come up.
Again. I love his optimism. I'm not convinced, but I love his optimism.
We already did all the hiccups.
For starters, what is in the new collection? Or I guess, for starters, where do people go to buy it? And then what is in it? Yeah, give me a 10-second sales pitch.
All right, 10-second sales pitch. So we are Blind Euphoria. We are a clothing brand preaching just like good vibes, essentially. The world sucks enough. This is more than 10 seconds, but I don't care. Time's not real. So
we're off to a flying start here, boys.
Yeah, we're really about trying to just like be happy. Try to like find things to be happy about.
Hell yeah.
Things that are in this new brand. We've got two new shirt designs. We've got two beanies. We've got sticker packs.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it at blindeuphoriaco.com or blindeuphoriaco on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And buy it.
That's about
Perfect.
It.
Perfect. Go buy stuff. That's what we're going to be talking about today, so go buy stuff. My little plug here is I've got an exciting year coming up. So whoever's listening, I'd love to add you to it. If you need a music video, if you need something band-related, hit me up. Let's get some visuals made for you. And cool. Yeah, leave a like, leave a comment on the show. That's always helpful.
Do it.
Make me feel good about myself. Anywho.
Do it.
Blind Euphoria. So, Josh, I'm starting with you, dude. Take me back All to right. the start here. So I know Blind Euphoria is currently.
Yeah.
Where does this thing start? Where does the idea of a clothing brand come in? Like, I feel like, yeah, when we're 6 years old, you're banging on pots and pans. And that's where drums or music would have come in. But yeah, where does the clothing line kind of get introduced into this world?
So I want to say since I was about 15, I've always wanted to do something related to clothes, like whether it be shirts, beanies, whatever. Didn't seem like anything financially possible yeah. when you're a teenager.
Sure.
You know, you have money. It takes a lot of money to print stuff. Didn't do anything of it. And then once you get into bands and your bands get merch, you kind of start to see the process and you're like, mm-hmm. the way that bands get merch is the exact same way that you can get merch as like a clothing brand.
Yep.
So it was an idea I had for a while, wanted to do it, didn't want to do it alone though. And me
Why
and,
not?
I felt that for me, the first time I tried to do it, I was like 23 and I had an idea, had everything lined up and you put a guitar in front of me, I can make you a song. You put a pen in front of me, I can draw you a stick figure. I realized that like I'd always have to have someone else outsource like the pictures for me, which like is fine, but it didn't feel as authentic to me if it wasn't coming from like my hands or like my team, if you will.
Sure.
So I put it on hold for years, and then actually, to be honest, like a year later, I ended up meeting Ryan, and we instantly clicked, and it was music related. Like I met him the first show I was playing with a band that I had just joined. We instantly became friends. I fronted a song for his band that night after only knowing him for an hour.
That just came up on like my Facebook memories.
Did it?
Yeah. Like it just came up.
I fronted an all-time low cover for him. We instantly became friends. We sent stuff all the time. And I was like, oh, he is creatively the exact same as me. Just his brain doesn't shut off. He just always wants to like do stuff. And one day, when like 2019 or so, that I text him, I saw the text, and it was this long text. And I was like, dude, I can't sleep. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm like, just feeling like I'm going nowhere. Like, we have to stop putting our destiny in front of someone else. Like, let's just do it ourselves. Like, we never wanted to work 9 to 5s, and like, we still technically do to some degree, but like, we just kind of had the idea of like, he's the one who's like really good at design and things like that. And then I had like, you know, finance and like management background, and I was like, we could do this. Like, even if it, you know, fails, unless we do it, we'll never know. So I texted him this long thing, and we kind of got going on ideas of like, okay, let's try this and just see what happens. And that's sort of the origins of it, honestly, is me just texting him at like 5:30 in the morning when I couldn't sleep because I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life anymore. And yeah, that was the start of it.
I want to get to this 5:30 a.m. text, but first, where do we meet? I want to know the story of, fronting an all-time low cover. Did I hear that right? So, did I just dream?
Did I
hallucinate for a moment in the middle of that?
No. Yeah, absolutely. No, that happened. So before Change was before War, Josh and I were in separate bands.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing in a band called Salader. We were friends with a band called Novelty, who picked Josh up as a guitarist.
And you guys were like 13 at the time?
No, we were like 25.
Yeah, Like, I've known Ryan for about
it's like 10
over
years.
9 years.
Ten years
in
now.
In between 9 and 10 years.
So, we're like 24, 25.
Okay. Yeah.
I was imagining little middle schoolers running around.
No. This makes a lot more sense. Feels
like
adults.
I've known him my entire life.
It's full-grown adults playing all-time low. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
So, we were playing. We had met, and then we were already good friends with the dudes in Novelty, and they're like, "Oh, we got this new guy. Like, you got to meet him." We're like, "Cool." We called you new guy Josh for like a month.
Yeah,
like
new guy Josh.
Because it's this new guy Josh, because you were the newest person like in our little like subset group.
Mm-hmm.
Was there even another Josh?
No.
That was the only
literally
one.
Just new guy the Josh. Only one. And yeah, we met him, and we were talking. We're like, "Yeah, like we're just shooting the shit." We're like, "Yeah, you know, we play." This all-time low, we play Coffee Shop? I think Coffee Shop soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
We're covering that in our set. And he was like, "Oh, dude, I love all-time low." And we're like, "Sure, do you want to fucking sing it?" We were opening the show. Like, we had never seen this guy perform. We didn't even know if he could sing. We're just like, "Yo, do you want to just do it?"
Who was your singer at the time?
So we were a three-piece band, so we did the whole blank. We had two, like, bassists and guitarists both sang.
I feel like if I am getting ready to open a show and I'm getting ready to sing Coffee Shop soundtrack by all-time low, and then my bandmates go, "Hey, actually, he's going to be the one singing."
No, there was only three of us, and we were so, like, just, like, whatever.
Okay.
That, like, we were going for it. Like, we used to cover the fun song
by SpongeBob.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, and it was the best part of our set.
Yep. Can I stop you for 1 second? Just the funniest thing about that is when they said that the band Fun was gigantic, and I was like, "Oh, what song by Fun do they cover?" After I sing the all-time low song, that I'm like, which one's it going to be, like, tonight or any of that? And I'm standing there, and I hear F is for Friends.
It's literally the Fun song.
All the color from my face, like, just left, and I was like, SpongeBob.
It was great.
Well, that's an interesting.
I saw that too. Yeah.
I probably should have formatted the card before this. We're going to take a quick pause here, folks. And be right back.
Commercial
we're supposed
break.
To do this.
Insane.
Excuse me.
Dude, right when we come back.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Kings, shout out. I guess if you're listening to this, you probably have no idea what the fuck just happened. If you're watching this, you definitely saw us go black for a second there. So my bad. Turns out my SD card was full. So we got another SD card. We're cooking here.
Yeah.
We were talking about covering. We're talking about the fun song.
Yes, and all the color leaving my face. Yes. And then, yeah, them starting the SpongeBob song. So, sorry, but continue, Ryan.
It was sick, dude. Like, it was a really fun thing of our set because they, Matt and Dan, would do, not Change with Dan, different Dan, would do, like, the whole banter. Like, the whole skit from the thing. And it was sick. Like, we would
end sick, fun word, for sure.
Yeah, sick. No, it was. We would end a song and we'd be like, I don't think we're having fun. Like, what is fun? And they'd be like, well, and we would literally, I'd count in and we'd play the fun song. Super tight. Everybody loved it.
It would get a circle pit every time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it would get a reaction. It did mm-hmm. exactly what it was supposed to
there
do.
There is something there. If I were to start a local band tomorrow, I would include two or three covers in my six song set because I feel like it's
we
just
would
a cheat
play
code
like
for
nine.
Engagement or audience interaction. And yeah. like, yeah,
we would
it's
play
the best
like
thing
nine
happen.
Songs in a set yeah. because I didn't play to a click and I play really fast if I don't play to a click. So we were able to just truck through.
Yep.
Like a good 17 songs in a half hour.
Jesus.
Nah, not really. But yeah.
So we meet playing these wildly perfect songs, yeah. and there's a text at 5:30 that comes in. So I guess what is your when you receive this text? Are you like, who the fuck is this crackhead texting me at 5:30?
Oh no, this is way later. Like so, yeah. we're in war at this point. Like yeah. We've had like three bands in between this. Like I've known yeah. Josh for probably like 8 years. So I get a text at 5:30 and this is nothing new.
Yeah.
Like this is actually completely normal.
Yep.
Like part of the routine.
Yep.
We're both just like having existential crises and it's like his turn basically. So he texts me and I'm like, all right, cool. Sounds good. Literally. I think every time Josh has sent me, like I have this idea, it's just been like a big paragraph explaining everything. And then I do read all of it, and then I just go, word, I'm in. Like, no, like,
yeah,
return thing. It's just like, cool.
No, somewhat facetious. He actually sends the hell yeah, brother meme Hulk Hogan playing guitar. That's actually what he sends.
I did go through a phase where I was doing that a lot.
Yeah,
fire.
Yeah,
with the American flag in the background.
Yeah.
Fire. And then so from there, so now you have the graphic design background, so I assume that's what you're bringing to the table here. So you're kind of coming with the ideas, and then Ryan can come in and help you bring those ideas to life. Is that kind of the initial arrangement here?
I think we're probably like 50-50 on design-wise. We have the same idea. But when it comes to like the actual designing, he's doing all of that, and then like I'll handle all of the unfun stuff, like the money and things like that. Because to me, I don't know how my brain works. I love organizing and things like that. So to me, seeing receipts and things like that, I'm like, yes, I love this information.
Yeah, and it's perfect because I don't.
Yeah,
it's so, perfect. Okay, yeah. A little yin and yang that everyone needs.
Yeah.
And then when does the first like collection start to come together? So I assume like is the name the next thing that happens? Do you guys come with the design? Like how does this thing start to snowball and become what it is now?
Yeah, we went through a couple iterations, like back and forth, like a couple, like not misstarts, but like attempts at starts with different names and different vibes and things. And nothing really was sticking or like it was something that was already taken.
Well, we didn't know what it was going to be at first. You know, we had, I have it somewhere. The Blind Euphoria, the initial idea was we actually had our own like mascot. It was like that was gonna be the idea. Was like Spitfire or like World Industries. You know, they had like Wet Willy and everything. And it was a little Grim Reaper dude, and he was adorable. And we were gonna go that route when it was gonna be more of like a skate brand,
Like a skater type vibe.
Yeah,
and then we transitioned. I don't even remember. Like we had the Grim Reaper before we had the name, really, too.
Yeah, that was the...
We were like...
We wanted a cute Grim Reaper because the whole duality of like this smiling little like bringer of death, basically.
Yeah. He's just like this little cute little guy.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah, and then we had gone through like maybe one or two names. I think like Headway was the name, but that's like a mental health app now. Like,
yeah.
So that was the thing, and we had a couple different ideas. And then I don't remember what it was, but I remember when we came up with Blind Euphoria, I was at Josh's house. We were probably just writing like for war.
I actually do remember
or
it.
Or something.
Exactly.
I don't remember exactly. So you can jump in, but like, I remember we were writing for war, and the loose concept is that you probably came up with like a riff or something that I really liked. And so like when I get excited about something, I'll just say stupid things, which is basically, I guess I'm excited all the time because I always say stupid things, but like more than normal. And you like questioned it because I definitely came up with some weird like metaphor or something. And so I was just like, well, I'm sorry that in like my blind euphoria, I just said whatever. And then we both stopped and it was like, hang on. Got it. Like the light bulb went off. We're like, that'd be a sick brand name. So we rolled with that. And yeah, we just went forward with doing that. We came up with like a pseudo American traditional kind of like with the dagger in the eye and everything, mm-hmm. like kind of doing an American traditional style concept, but like really clean, sharp, like streetwear line, like really crisp rather than like a hand-drawn thing.
Yep.
So kind of bringing like a streetwear vibe, combining it with like the American traditional that you see a lot of bands, a lot of brands like in our like area of art doing, and kind of just like mashing those up together and going from there.
That was also my favorite tattoo style as well, which is right. like covered all over my body. So I was like, American traditional? Yes.
Yeah, got it. Good. Naming stuff always sucks. That's like one thing that with this show I've always gone back and forth on. It's like, I didn't know what to name it. And the first iteration was going to be the Peter JT show. And very quickly to me, it was like, oh no, that's not me at all. Like I recognize that I'm the hostess. I recognize that this is my thing, but like, it doesn't feel like it's my show. I'm not the one performing here. My goal is to bring other people and let y'all be the performers and let me kind of soak up all the wisdom from it. Was Blind Euphoria, like, it's interesting that it like immediately clicked. Is there any like doubts there? It sounds like maybe the styling was kind of the part two of that, where it sounds like the name kind of took pretty quick, and then it was a matter of like, you know, what is Blind Euphoria was kind of the next question.
Yeah. In coming up with the name, we had been texting each other back and forth, and I remember telling Ryan at one point, I was like, it's like a band name or anything else. We're just going to have to – it's going to hit. Like, yep. At some point, we're just going to say it or something, and it's going to be there. Once we had that, I feel like the direction of where we wanted to go was a lot easier, because once we had the name, figuring out kind of like what we wanted to do was a lot easier. I think Ryan from the get-go had like the idea of like drink more water and like do better, be better. As like thing, we're like, oh, you know, maybe we should like – just be more positive than we were expecting. Cause like, if you listen to, I mean, now Chain Twist, yeah. You wouldn't think that like we're these like super posy people or anything, yep. but we're not. But
like, this is our attempt.
But that's the whole point. Yeah. Like, we're not.
That was the most Eeyore. Like, yeah. we're not.
That's okay. Cause I'm a total Pooh Bear. If he's Eeyore, like that, honestly, that is, I just watched Meckle of Honey, but, yeah, we were like, we're not super positive people in the sense of like how we view the world, but like maybe we just need to bring a little bit more into it, even if we're not in our lives very like positive about ourselves. In
there
a sense,
is
you know
some
what I
mean? Fake it till you make it involved, and I think
it's almost like in a way, like yeah, it's for other people, like it's almost a reminder for ourselves, mm-hmm. really, where it's like, hey, like you're allowed to be happy, because yep. like, yeah. I feel like a lot of it, like,
it's cathartic.
Yeah, like it's cathartic in a way. A lot of the times I feel like with everything that's going on, like you don't see positive things happen. Like yep. no one puts that on the news. No one really wants to, because that doesn't sell or anything like mm-hmm. that. But like, so it's really hard to justify being happy in a way, because sure. you're like, oh, there's so many people that have way worse than me and all these different things. So it's like almost just a reminder
yep.
that like, you're allowed to smile, like you're allowed to be happy, like yep. try to like make other people happy. Like, how can you positively affect the world? Kind of how we left off the last episode with you and me, where it's just like, how can you affect someone else's life in a positive way where they're going to feel just a little better?
Yep.
Yeah. And not necessarily needing a reason for that. Like, cause I feel like that's a lot of things, like, well, what do I have to be happy about? I'm like, dude, just do it. Like, try.
Yep.
Like, coming from someone, like, we both like deal with, you know, mental depression, anxiety, like whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So like, it's not as easy as just waking up and like, I'm going to be happy today.
Yep.
But like, sometimes like if you just fake it till you make it and like mm-hmm. try, and like, I'm going to try to do like this one thing and that's going to make me feel better. Like, so it's just getting kind of like a little jumpstart and reminder of like, yep. you know, this is valid. And like, you're allowed to feel happy if you want to, and you don't need a reason for that.
Got the same thing, and I guess it's a different flavor, but for me again, yeah, coming back, tying it to my overlap here with the show, it's like Something from Everyone is the idea of like, yeah, you can learn something from everyone, which is partly me telling myself like, hey, don't be so hard-headed and fucking dumb. Like, there's a part of me that thinks like I've gotten here by being hard-headed, right? Like, by when you come to me with an idea, like, you don't want me being like, maybe this, maybe that. Like, you want me to be like, this is what it's gonna be, and this is why that's the best version of it. Like, I feel like part of being self-employed is being stubborn. It's this idea of like, this shouldn't work, but I'm going to keep figuring this fucking shit out, and I'm going to make it work. I'm going to force myself to make it work. And there's a hard-headedness in there that is rigid and kind of native to me. And I think part of my, I don't know, I like people, but I'm often bad at being like, yeah, even if I don't love everyone, there's something from everyone that is valuable to me, and there's some overlap. And even if me and this person don't see eye to eye on everything, there's something they're doing well that I can learn from. And it doesn't, and I guess that's kind of my mecca challenge for the show, is like, I've kind of only had friends on to this point.
Yeah.
And there is some like down the road goal of like, can I have on someone that I completely disagree with? Can I have like my nemesis on here and sit across them and go, I don't like you. I don't like the way you do business. I don't like what you've done to people who are my friends.
Explain
but like,
yourself.
What have you done well? And I think that's true of the, when I'm delivering food in New Haven, when I'm driving by a homeless guy, it's like, there's some part of my brain that wants to stop and be like, we're in very different spots in life, but like, yeah, there's something, you know, that I don't, and 100%. There's some valuable in there that I can draw from that. And I guess there's some, yeah, some ego in, even in that, but it's like, I don't know. It's a, I resonate with this idea of trying to create a brand of like, this isn't quite me yet, but it's something I want to be. It's like an aspirational version of myself, right, that exactly, we're trying to create here.
Yeah.
And so I empathize with that, with the blind euphoria thing. And I'm curious then, it's like, does it feel natural? I guess, so when I'm starting this again, there's a sense of me being like, am I too egotistical to learn something from everyone? Like, can I really sit here and pick your brain for an hour? And the answer has been yes. The answer is that I've loved it, and it's been a really fun process for me to get to sit down and like ask all the questions that I want to ask that aren't like socially kosher to ask in the middle of a venue or whatever. But it's been a really fun challenge. So then for you guys, does Blind Euphoria become, does it feel cheesy at first? Does it feel natural? Is it something that like you assimilate into immediately, or is there kind of a growing pain there of like, I think this is what I want it to be, but it isn't quite me yet.
I think the thing with it was that always with anything creative, when you're throwing yourself out there, there's always that thing of, am I coming across as disingenuous, yep, or cheesy or anything like that? And because no one really saw me and Ryan probably as like these super uplifting people, you, yep, know, it might seem a little bit odd at first to see us trying to like bring that kind of message across. But to be honest, I've kind of grown to like not care about what people think. Mm-hmm. And I know that's like so cliche to say, but just once you go through high school, I feel like everyone gets that hard skin at some point, you know? Yeah. And I just, when you're so used to like putting music out and seeing like either people love it or they hate it, you kind of just become numb to like, I don't really care what people think anymore, and, yep, and you become your best self when you do that.
Yep.
So I remember us like writing out the mission statement. We were kind of thinking about like, this is genuine to us. Does it seem cheesy? Maybe. Do we care? No, not really.
Yep.
And that was one of our things too, is like, we're gonna do it our way. Like, we're gonna do this. Every drop that we do is limited. It's, we never do a design again. So like, everything that we're doing is going to be us. And if it's not us, there's no reason to do it. And if people think it's cheesy, maybe it's cheesy. If people think it's badass, cool, awesome. Either way, it's us, fail or succeed. Like, we did it. Some people sit their entire lives being like, I wish I just did this one thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't. So, I mean, we talked a little briefly about last time I was here, the dark cloud of bad luck that has followed us ever since. Yes. I mean, I don't know if we were going to get into it later, but literally we dropped the brand and it was so good for like the first 2 months, and then the world ends with COVID.
Yeah, like not even, we literally dropped, I think it was March 8th, 2020.
First cases of COVID were,
and then right March away, 14th, yeah, or whatever, yeah, it was. They were like, yeah, we don't world anymore.
Yep.
Like, we didn't even know, like, can we ship stuff? Like,
yeah, like we had no clue what to do, like, or how to do or anything.
We can't accept returns, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly. So we were like, okay, well, yeah, sick, here we go.
My first year being fully self-employed was January 2020. That was like I graduated college and I got my degree in psychology that I knew I wasn't going to use, but I needed to, yeah, I wanted to have something on paper of like, if this doesn't go then at least, like, I have something. Yeah. And yeah, get the family on my side also, I think, is an important piece there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, January 2020 is the first thing. And then, yeah, 3 months in, it's like, maybe not. Maybe fucked, this universe, get fucked is exactly what it felt like and what it was. I also wanted to touch on quickly just like the branding, the positivity thing, because it's a similar thing that I've struggled with here of like, when I'm chatting with you guys, the part I should clip out is the most salacious part. Like, anytime someone says sleep token, I should cut that out and put it on Instagram. And like, whatever, good or bad, like
sleep token.
Like, use that name.
Algorithm.
Anytime we talk about Taylor Swift, like, I should clip that and put it. But it's like, that's not, I don't want to be the guy who's talking shit. And also, it's like, there's so much, anytime we're talking about a band, we're talking about past bands, talking about how we got here. And any past band is a band that failed. And in that failure, there's always someone pointing a finger at someone. And in any scenario, there's probably fingers that can be pointed a lot of ways. And I don't want to be on here being like, Ryan, tell me what happened with your last band, when it's like the other band might have something to say about Ryan. Like, I don't want to just air out Ryan. But the salacious thing of Ryan, I don't know anyone, but just use you as an example of Ryan being like, yeah, this person stole money from the band. It's like, that's the clip I should put out. That is the one that'll get the most engagement. That is the one that will fuel social media the most. But like, yeah, I don't want to just be spitting out people talking shit about other people.
Right.
And I would rather build something where we're the clips that go out are us talking positively about something or laughing or enjoying each other. But like, I get that that's not monetizable in the same way, or in the context of a thumbnail. It's like, I should do it. I try and do is all smiling and looking good. What I should do is when we're looking dumb, when someone does something dumb with their hands, like the thumbnail face that we always see on YouTube. Has it been tough then to like accept positivity as the brand? Like, it seems like you guys have done a good job. Obviously, yeah, Blind Euphoria, there's Happiness Britain in the name. But like, yeah, there's a, it'd be much easier to lean into the Reaper side of it than the cute Reaper side of it, I think, is what I'm trying to get at here.
I mean, we kind of like, this is kind of like a restart.
Yeah.
So I don't think we know. Sure. Right now, like, we launched in 2020 and had, like, the little amount of, like, hype from our friends and stuff that we got, and a little bit of traction, and it kind of all went away.
Because of COVID
and because of hiccups that happened with, like, the getting the shirts for the second thing and everything. So,
I told that story last time.
So that's why we don't have to say it again. But, like, every time we've tried to do it, like, there's been some type of speed bump, some type of roadblock. So that, and then after we bought the shirts for this drop that's going to, you know, it's out now. Like, it's, we essentially started Chain Twist, basically. That started happening.
Yeah.
So that took all of our brain power and all of our effort to get that off the ground. And it was always.
And money.
Yeah, literally everything. So we're just like, okay, we'll just get back to it. We'll get back to it. Once Chain Twist is stable, we'll get back to it. Mm-hmm. And Chain Twist is stable, but it's still building. So it was constantly like, you're never going to get back to it. So I remember just texting Josh one day. I'm like, we just got to do it. We just have to do it right now. It doesn't have to be
5:30 a.m. You said
it was
like 6:15 in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah. But this time plot twist, it was because I woke up at 6:15, not because I didn't go to bed yet.
Yeah. I hadn't gone to bed yet.
Yeah. But, we're like, oh, for this thing, we're going to do this big comeback. We're going to get like pictures of everybody like that we like consider part of like our family, like the team. We're gonna get promo shoots from everybody, so we have all this content to like kind of carry us. And then I was just thinking about it, and it's just like, you know what, like, this is basically a complete restart. No one really knows about this for the most part, unless like you're like close to us and like knew previously from 3 years ago. We haven't really posted on the Instagram just because, again, it's all been Chain Twist, it's all been our own personal stuff. Like, so there's no expectation. There's no bar that we need to meet. There's no rush. There's no need to do this big spectacle of a thing.
Yep.
Let's just do it. Just put it up. Just like make a post. Be like, oh, by the way, if you want shirts, here you go. They're up. Like, it doesn't have to be this like, oh, in a week we're going to drop, because no one knows who this is. No one cares, for lack of a better term. Yep. Like, so it's all of just like, oh, we need to just do it. Just put it out and go from there and hope that we can kind of build everything up.
I couldn't agree more. And my version of that is always like, I send a band a music video, and with that, I send you clips. We get behind the scenes photos. And there are so many times where all those things see the light of day before the video does.
Right.
And it's like, by the time the video comes, everyone's tired of seeing this background. No one cares about this performance anymore. Yeah. Like, it's all just numbness that we're, encountering, I guess, was the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
So I guess with you guys, it's been really smart just to kind of pause. And it's like, when this thing is out, then we can start talking about it. Then we can start rolling it out and really promoting it more. But yeah, while we don't have anything on the cutting edge, it's silly to kind of get ahead of the storm in that sense.
Yeah.
Take me to these dilemmas. Yeah. So 2020, the world shuts down. We had some momentum. You mentioned being scared to send packages, which I think is an interesting, like, blast from the past.
Yeah, like,
so
no
hard to
one knew
with,
what.
But,
we're like, are we allowed to mail things? Yeah. Like, what can we do? Like, literally everything stopped.
Yep.
Yeah. I handle all of the shipping stuff. And that was another thing, too, was one of our initial ideas was, like, I write, like, a little letter to everyone who buys from us, like a little handwritten letter, like, thanking them and everything. And I want it to be very personal. And now I'm like, crap. Like, what are we going to do? Because we're shipping, like, we've shipped to Japan, we've shipped to Canada, and I'm thinking, like, we can't accept returns, obviously, it's COVID, and I don't know if I have something, and I don't want to give it to someone, you know? So that was a hard thing at first to try and like, how can we safely send a package? So that was like the first hiccup right after we got going. And
every package came with a COVID test,
basically. And
before they were out, still limited edition exclusive.
Yeah, yeah. We just sent everybody like a popsicle stick.
Yeah, so we were doing all of that, and it was still everything. You know, it was slowing down because of the COVID stuff, but we were still. You know, it was hard to ask people to spend money on something when people around you are dying. Like, I know we don't like it's a
no
bad dream
work.
Now at this point.
Yeah, like, everybody was on unemployment. Like, people were literally, like, losing their lives.
This
we're
is
like,
before government checks.
We're like, oh, but, like, sorry, but, like, we have shirts that you should buy. Like,
and that was so hard to try and portray that, you know, I don't want, it wasn't, like, a fake thing, but, like, having photos of us out somewhere wearing the shirts, like modeling for it. I was like,
yeah, it was
the
tough.
The freaking
to, like,
world is like ending right now, and we're trying to get people to buy t-shirts, and it felt so wrong. So we kind of were sort of like, let's take a step back for a little bit and kind of see like what happens with the world. And in that time, the band that we had been working for years, like, ended up stopping essentially because of COVID. Like, we couldn't get together anymore. And it was very deflating. So that was a really bad time of the clothing brand we spent all this time trying to work on. Now, out of respect, we feel like we shouldn't really be pushing it because people should be spending money on other stuff. And then also the thing, so that creative outlet's gone. Now our other creative outlet's gone because everyone is like, hey, we probably shouldn't be getting together, even though we are, you know, healthy. Mm-hmm. We probably shouldn't be doing that. And now
like,
we're not making
no
music
shows or anything. So now it's just like everything just went away.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the first hiccup. And then when the world started slightly coming back and we figured, okay, like round two, let's go. And we decided to make the shirts and have them made with the same people that we made the last ones. And we had the hiccup that I explained last time of, you know, 6 month wait or so, and we get the old designs and not the new designs that we ordered, and they try to kind of hold us up of like, well, you're gonna buy these shirts from us, right?
Yeah, like, no, you can keep the mess ups if you buy them,
yeah,
or like bring them back or whatever.
And I tried to explain to them, like, we do limited releases, we don't reprint stuff, and it was kind of just sort of like a, oh,
they're like,
it sucks to
suck. Yeah, like, we messed up, but like,
but
figure
you're somehow
it out
at fault, even
like,
though they,
you figure it out. Yeah. Like, no. Like,
then when we finally got our shirts,
it just taken so much mental.
We were so deflated. Yeah,
how did
that
result? Did you end up having to pay for the shirts?
No, I think we just, Josh just brought them back.
They basically threw them away probably as a tax break. And
We don't know what happened to them, but
if I say the punchline of my joke, I think people will figure out what company we're talking about. So I don't want to say it. So I won't say it. All I know is that karma is a bitch. That's all I'm going to say in the best way possible for us. The ending of what ended up happening with them is hilarious and rightfully so.
I look forward to hearing that after we wrap up here.
I can't wait to tell you that but so that happened. So we're just basically sitting on these shirts and trying to figure out, because the funny thing is, we when we started, just to dial back real quickly, we both went in with how much is it going to be for the amount of shirts we want to do. It was like under $500. So okay, let's each put 250 in. What else do we need? Okay, we're gonna get stickers, we're gonna do this, right? Budget it out. We went positive as a company,
like we
within
in the
3 months.
Yeah,
we were like, this is fantastic. So we can either consider it a success and just stop, or we put all that money in plus some. And this is why it hurt so much, was because we got better t-shirts.
Yeah, we spent the money on the better quality. Like, it's not, it wasn't Gildan anymore.
Front,
like,
back
like
designs.
Yeah, we did front back.
Yeah, and it was a lot more money. And now we're spending every bit we made as a company went into this.
Immediately right back in.
Yeah. And then our own money too.
Yeah.
As it does. Yeah.
So yeah, we were sitting on this for a while, but we loved the shirts, and every friend we gave it to was like, these are amazing shirts, and like, it feels so good.
Yeah. Like, we were doing the beta testing, and I was like sending out mock-ups, and I'm like, would you buy this? Like, what do you think? And they're like, yeah, definitely do that. So
yeah.
Like,
and we were really excited.
We're doing it. Like, sounds good. Five people saying yes is enough for me to buy 30 shirts. Let's go.
Yeah. Honestly too, we kept saying when Chain Twist is self-sufficient, we will get back to it. And because our last band would like, you know, hey, we released an EP, let's go play a bunch of shows. With Chain Twist, it's just constant, like, we're writing, recording, whatever. So there really wasn't a spot.
There is no downtime in Chain Twist at all. It's constantly, we have this song, we need to go record it, we need to do a video, we need to find a time to play a show, but we also have four more songs that we also need to record and figure out time.
Sure.
So it's
and we love that too.
And we love
we love that aspect of it. Yeah, but then
but it's constant overlapping.
Yeah, so Ryan said we just gotta like do it at some point. And then I wasn't even in my head, I was thinking like, when is this gonna come back? I don't know. And then you mentioning it to me when I came on the first time and you were like, hey, I'm gonna talk to you about Blind Euphoria. I was like, holy shit. I was like, that's cool. And then it reignited all of the sparks. So you're kind of like the timber to Blind Euphoria coming, like this finally seeing the light of day was.
Yeah, because we had it on our radar. But yeah, I remember like listening to their episode and I was like, oh yeah, we should probably just do it.
Yeah.
Like, what do we like, forget it. Let's just go.
The just do it element, I think, is the biggest part of any creative process. And it's the biggest hurdle that I think most people get stuck on, myself included, got stuck on many a times. And yeah, ultimately that's it. It's just do it. I guess I accidentally am segueing here of like, what gives you the confidence to start a clothing brand? And as I'm saying, just do it, of course, talking about Nike, we're talking about Adidas, talking about all the big wigs. And I guess, I don't know, somehow it feels different to music, to me at least, of like, just because Bring Me the Horizon exists doesn't mean that Chain Twist shouldn't exist, but somehow Nike is like a, we're never going to sell more shirts than Nike. So like, what motivates this as a, what motivates this as a venture that like feels worthwhile, I guess? And I think it is worthwhile. I'm excited to see you create it, but like, what motivates you guys to do it in the context of, clothing is such a competitive industry, and I don't think it's a industry where there's a ton of like, it's all about margins. I don't think the margins are that big generally. You have to sell a bajillion shirts to really make a living off of it. So where does this like get motivated from? What makes this like a worthwhile pursuit for you?
I mean, I'll let you know when I find out, I guess.
To be honest, our brain's not shutting off.
That's really what
me
it
and
is.
Me and Ryan are like, he was essentially my kindred spirit when I met him. I was like, this dude gets me. We literally have had maybe 30 minutes of talking and I already tell this dude is like, he gets it, you know. He would push me and send me stuff like when we first met, being like, hey, are you writing anything for novelty? Send me clips. I want to hear, like, even before we're even a band together, he was like, send me stuff. I want to hear what you're working on. I was like, shit, I better write some stuff so I can send it to Ryan and see if he likes it, kind of thing, even though it wasn't my band. Yeah. And then I plotted and schemed in my head to like, how can I get him in a band with me? And then he's been stuck with me ever since, and he's become one of my best friends. And that was kind of the thing of like us not being able to just always wanting to do something with our hands or be creative. Like, that's where the clothing brand came from. Musically, we tried to add that stuff into our band, but you could like a design by a band and maybe not like the band's music. So we were thinking from the perspective of, we think we have some cool ideas for designs. It's more of a wide open framework of, you don't have to like a music type or anything to like our clothes. You can just like the design. There's nothing else attached to it. And it, really for me, like I say, it comes down to just being creative. I told you last time, Cameron, like every guitar, the guitar I use in Chain Twist, I made it. Like everything that I do, I like to have my own flair to our customization to some point. And it comes to clothes too. If no one's going to make better clothes for me than myself and Ryan. So, you know, even if at the end of the day, if I was like, if I get like four or five cool shirts out of it, it's a win for me.
Like we're 100%. We're not doing this for money. Like we know we're not going to be Nike. It's like, cool. And this is just another outlet where like, I just want to do something. I like being creative. I like creating things, something where I can just put stuff in front of people and be like, cool, I did this. Like, this is just something that I've created and we have now.
I always am nervous about asking the why question, because I feel like if someone's trying to read between the lines, they'd read between the lines of me going like, hey, don't do that. And I think just for the sake of vulnerability there, I think for me, it's like, I have the same question of why, of like, why should I make music videos? Like, there's plenty of people doing it. It's not like there's a need for someone. And I guess what I'm hearing you guys say that I think I overlap with is there's some part of me that went like, no, I can do it better. Like, I know what people are doing and I like what they are doing and that's cool that they're doing it, but like, I think I have something to contribute to this field. And I think what I'm hearing you say is like, I'm going to get five shirts out of this. And I don't know if other people are going to like them. But like,
I think there is like, this is something I want to do. So I'm just going to do it. Yeah. Like, I don't need to be Nike or Adidas or whatever. Like, I just feel like doing this and time is short. I'm just going to do it. I want to do it.
Which I think was a huge shift for me growing up, where like as a kid playing soccer, to me, it's like, I'm not playing soccer to be on the bench. Like, I'm playing soccer to score the most goals, to win the most trophies, to get first place every time possible. And then like, as the art thing starts to come, it's like, oh, no, I'm not trying to make the best music videos. I just think I have value to offer to this thing, or there's some part of me that is interested in this and engaged in this. And there's a, yeah, I don't necessarily need a why. I have my own why of, like, it just feels good. It feels like the right thing to do. And so I'm always curious, yeah, for other artists of, like, yeah, what is the why there, where it seems like we're in fields that are, I don't know, that we're in fields that it's like there's plenty of people making plenty of money. Like, how am I going to challenge Bring the Horizon? What am I going to do to contribute to whoever the gods of music videos are? It's like, maybe nothing, but I don't really care that I'm not going to enter this arena. Like, my goal is to, yeah, affect the lives I can touch and the ones I can reach, and I'm going to have fun doing that. And if it grows into the Nike of music videos, then great. But, like, yeah. I think, yeah, it was a weird thing where as a kid, it's like, I'm not going to play soccer if I don't think I can become the Nike of this. And now it's like, no, I'm so happy doing this. And almost now, like, I almost hope I don't become that, because it seems like life gets shitty once you get to that size. Like, it seems like we're in a real sweet spot now where, like, we have the respect of our peers, we have the support of our peers, and we don't quite have that next level of with Bad Omens leading the social media. It's like, to me, that's like the other end of this thing of, like, they've gone so far outside of their own circles that they don't even want to interact with people anymore because it's so daunting and so overwhelming. And I guess, I don't know, it's reinforcing for me to hear other artists be like, no, it's just, this is for me. It's not a, yeah, as a businessman, it's like, yeah, I recognize that I should pursue a business that's going to make me the most capital. But, like, life isn't about capital. It can't be about capital, because we're going to be fucking miserable if all this is a
cash grab.
Can't
take money when he dies. So, yeah, like, no. Just do what makes you happy.
Can't really take much when you die for that purpose.
Yeah, but, yeah.
If you can't take your friends with you unless you want to start a cult.
I mean, you can. Yeah. But yeah, you can't worry about it. You just got to do what you want to do and just go for it.
Yeah. Going back, so then the first batch runs into this issue. The second batch, we have the people who, yeah, send you the old batch of shirts, and there's a whole mix up there.
Yeah.
Is the designs you were trying to print that second time what is now coming out, or what is now currently out?
Yep. So these designs, we've had these shirts done, printed in Josh's house for 2.5 years.
Hell yeah, okay.
Basically just been taking up space in Josh's house.
Yeah.
So we've had these for a while. We've been excited on them. And now it's fun because, like we were saying, like, we kind of not forgot about it, but just, like, pushed it to the side. And now it's like this whole new, like, rejuvenation of, like, oh, yeah, we did this. Cool. Like, we can get excited about this again.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, I've been wearing the shirts we have, like, for 2.5 years just out and about. And people are like, what is that? I'm like, oh, it's my clothing brand, but I guess it's not available. I don't know. Like, it got to a point where I was at the gym one time, and one of my friends was like, that's cool. And I'm like, do you just want one? Like, give me 20.
And then we started selling them.
We just started technically, like, selling them, like, pre-selling them or whatever. We're just like, yeah, let me know. I'll just grab one.
Yeah.
So, but it's nice to finally, I guess, do it formally or whatever, officially, and have everything be out.
And we're talking about the shirts here. I think there's also, you said beanies included. So the beanies, a more recent addition, or they were also included?
The beanies were a last-minute thought that I had. Because I thought we could do them easily, and I didn't think it was going to be a big deal.
Well, okay, no, to be fair, we have always done beanies in every band we've done, because when I initially had the idea of doing beanies in, like, bands, I would get, like, wholesale beanies, and we would go and, like, find, like, a patch or something, and, like, just I would hand stitch it. And then we had the idea of doing it like this, but different. Actually, we tried embroidered first. That didn't work out.
Joe has an embroidery machine.
Because of course he does.
Because of course he does. I love, side tangent about Joe. Joe is the coolest person ever.
Yep.
Joe, you never know what he's going to do. You never know what he's going to buy. We had, like, a running joke where every week we would go, and it would just walk in the door and be like, what did Joe buy this week? Because it'd be like a kayak or, like, literally the most random stuff. And I love it. It's so cool. Yep. But he has an embroidery machine, so he's been embroidering all the Chain Twist merch that we have. Joe is all done. Like, Joe's done with his machine. So in my head, I'm like, oh, we can buy blank beanies. Joe can embroider them. It'll be fine. Like, there's zero chance.
And it was not fine.
And it was never fine. If you ever, in any facet of your life, going, nothing can go wrong, guess what? It will.
It'll find a way. Yeah.
So it's all like, yeah, we're good. So I have the beanie shipped to Joe's house. Just like, I got it. No problem. We digitized the file and everything. And he puts in our Discord. He's like, I don't know if this is going to work. Like, I'm stressed. So I'm like, okay. Like, so I call him. He's explaining to me, like, well, we can do it one of two ways. One way, it looks super professional, but, like, the needle's starting to, like, blow out, and I don't know if it's going to be able to handle it. It's not going to look good because I can't restart it. And the other way, it'll finish it, but it doesn't look good. It doesn't look very sharp or whatever. And it's just stressing me out. And I'm like, well, first of all, don't worry about it. This isn't you. Like, this isn't your thing. This is a me and Josh problem. Like, you are doing literally us a favor by offering to do this, like, for free because you're our friend. Yeah. So, like, if this stretches you out,
pause.
We're done. Don't do it anymore. Like, I will take care of this. Relax. So it became, all right, well, we bought beanies. We have these. We have to use them somehow. Yeah. Let's just, I'm just like, we'll do patches. I'll get patches. We can iron them on. It'll be fine. And can't be that hard. And it was not fine.
Yeah.
The getting the patches was easy. Like, because Joe had sent me, he's like, oh, this band I know, they just got patched, like embroidery done. Go to this guy. So Chris at Brass City, I think it is, Brass City Embroidery in Waterbury, did our patches. I got them super quick. Everything is great. I'm like, cool, I'm going to go iron them on. Not fine. I Google it because the internet has never lied to me.
Not once.
Not once has it lied.
Not even about Grand Canyon.
Not once has the internet proved me wrong or like steered me in the wrong direction. Abraham Lincoln said that. So we, I go and it says, all right, now put the parchment paper over it so you protect like the patch. I'm like, makes sense. Tracks, got it. And goes, hold the iron down and go in like a circle motion for 30 seconds. And I'm like, seems like a lot. But again, the internet is never wrong. So I'm circling and I'm circling and I'm counting to 30 Mississippi in my head. And I'm literally seeing like the knit beanie like absorb all the steam in the water and like warping.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
that's only been 28 seconds.
Like,
dude.
I was like, it's got to be fine. It's probably fine. It's something that like once it dries, it'll like go back. Nah, didn't go back.
No, yeah.
The best part is though, is that when he sent it to me and was like, yeah, I was supposed to hold it for 30 seconds. I was like, no, you're not. Not for beanies.
And I knew that. But the thing is, I Googled, how do I iron on knit beanies? And it said, knit beanie, how to iron on. And I was like, thanks, WikiHow. So I was like, okay, let me Google something else. This one didn't say circle. So I was like, oh, okay. So I just pressed and lifted it, and this was a white one, so there's like a burn mark that looks like the dude from Home Alone, like of just the iron on the beanie. So I was like,
that's not the worst fashion idea, is to make a Home Alone beanie.
So I was just like, I texted Josh, I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna do this. Like, I'm not gonna do this. So I had luckily already like had like an Audible backup plan like lined up. I texted my friend Vic, who does like cosplay theater work, like all kinds of sewing and everything, costuming, like I said, Job's doing costume. They're great. And I was like, hey, what are the chances that like, if this goes south at any point, I want to do this. Would I be able to use your sewing machine and like kind of help me out? And they're like, yeah, sounds good. So I texted them in a panic and I was like, I like sent a picture. I'm like, I can't do this. Remember that thing you said you would help me? Like, please. And they're like, yeah, no problem. How many do you have? And I'm like, I have this many. And they're like, yeah, give me like a week or whatever. So they were able to sew everything on, even with the iron on, because that was the first thing. They were like, I really wish you didn't get an iron on back. And I was like, well, I thought I could be an adult, but I can't.
That I feel like is a good segue, though, to also state that, like, listen, persistence is our, at this point, is our thing. But we are not void of realizing how lucky we are with some of the people around us. Like, Joe has every photo essentially that's ever been done for any of our product photos or our, like, model photos has been done by him. Vic, like, very graciously did all the sewing for that. Ryan's friend Briley, who I've become like cool with, she was like repping this stuff like on her streams when she was like in Japan, like constantly like being like, hey, this isn't out yet, but it's coming out, and like bringing people to us. And she brought a lot of people towards us. So, like, we are very lucky, even though with all the dark cloud that has followed us and like trying to like get this planted and like grow, we are very lucky by the people around us. We both have families that are cool with us like trying things and, you know, being like, throw it against the wall, see about if it sticks.
Like, if that's what you're doing now, cool. Yeah. Like, go for it. Yeah, it's technically me and Josh are like the faces of this, but we have like
a very good support system.
We've accumulated like, you know, the team of like Blind Euphoria, which now involves you.
Yeah.
Which I guess I don't know how to
be
like,
a good segue.
I was
going to
say,
actually,
I was like, I guess I don't know how to like naturally do this, but like, this is.
We wanted to give you some stuff.
Your stuff now. because
I'm fly as hell.
You to be a part of this as well.
I feel like we should do one of those cool clap things where you clap and I'm just wearing all this stuff.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I can't quite make
big transition.
That would actually, yeah, that'd be a great TikTok transition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we
hell yeah,
we have a beanie, folks. Support system.
Please
buy some stuff. And
buy stickers.
Yeah, sticker packs.
Stickers and a shirt.
T-shirt.
Hell yeah.
That's only half of the drop too. We just want
one of the shirts.
That's fire as hell. I'm aware of that. I'm aware that hard as a rock. I'm aware that on Tuesday, and it's going to be in the episode before this one, just fuck up the whole timeline of the universe.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, if the MCU could do it, we could do it. Like, it's fine.
Hell yeah. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
What was my... I had a thought there, and then you fucking disrupted me by being so generous.
We gave you late Christmas, and we ruined the podcast.
I hate how your kindness disrupts my thinking.
It's almost like we have a happiness kindness clothing brand. See, it's not fake, people.
As you were talking about the support system and all, I had the thought of, like, I don't know if I believe in karma, but I do believe that, like, I should do the right thing so the right thing happens to me. Right. And I know that is a karma,
which
but it's like,
karma.
I'm not really that spiritual. I'm not really that religious, and I feel like I'm pragmatic enough, I'm dogmatic enough, I'm scientific enough of, like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't believe that that is a transaction of energy. Like, it just doesn't mathematically make sense to me.
No.
The flip side there is, like, I do believe that people who are kind have more kindness coming back to them. And as you guys are talking about your support system, it's like, that's not an accident. That's a reflection of you guys being so supportive to these people. And I don't know exactly how you've supported each one of these people. And I don't know if it's exactly them that you've supported or maybe it was one of their friends. But, like, there is some, like, goodwill. And this sounds like, as you're describing the Blind Euphoria ideology, it's very, like, altruistic. Like, I'm just going to do this because it feels right. It's good. I like it. I don't need other people's validation. I want to do it because I want to do it. And it feels like the right thing to do. And I think as you put those things out in the universe, what comes back to you are more people who are in that same field here. So it's like, I'm hearing you guys sound very, like, selfless and humble of, like, I don't know how these people got in my life. And my point is, like, no, take some credit. Like, you guys earned all these people in your life. And, like, by being good and doing good shit. And, like, someone like Joe is a great example of, like, Joe wouldn't be helping you if you treated him like shit for years. Like,
we go out of our way to, like, now we're like, I was like, if Joe ever decided one day, he's like, yeah, no, we're like, well, there goes everything like I have ever invested in. Cause Joe has some type of hand in it. Like,
yeah. But I assume if Joe was sitting here, I would say, Joe, why the hell are you doing this?
He'd be like, Joe would just be like, I don't know.
Maybe because he's fun. Humble, also humble and honest.
He's humble too. He would just go, I'd take pictures and then I get to practice editing. Like, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically what it is. It's just fun.
Yeah, it is. And it's about, doing that and letting other people come into your life who also want to be involved in that. And I think if I made my video too corporate, it's like people don't want to come be a dollar sign in my life. Like, they want to come be a part of a creative process. And the more I can give you that, the more I'm going to find people who will pay me so I can make a living. But, like, I one flaw I see in other of my, I don't know, peers, competitors, other people in my universe is, like, when I'm talking to other bands, I'm really interesting to ask, like, hey, you worked with so-and-so. What did you think of that? Like, one of my favorite answers I've ever got back is that someone brought snacks to set. And it's one of those, like, I never would have thought of it as a director, but, like, yeah, we're going to be here for just 8 hours. If I can bring a couple bags of chips and some Gatorades, like, that goes a long way into making a good product or making a good memory for you guys. And the other part of that is one of the more common complaints I hear is, like, I felt like a dollar sign. I didn't feel like a person. I didn't feel like an artist. I didn't feel like an idea. I felt like I was a product that he was able to sell and move on with his life.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's like, yeah, the more I'm able to not do that, and I don't think that is me. I hope it's not me. I hope it never seems that way. But to me, it's like, yeah, I just want to make stuff. I'm happy making stuff. And I think the more I've done that, the more I've found people like you guys and people like Jay, the half-hearted guys who are like, yeah, we're just going to make stuff. That's just what's going to happen here. And whoever's in the room when I'm doing it, great. If no one's in the fucking room, I'm going to keep making it. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I thought about it on the other way, like, on the way over here, where I was like, I had the realization, I'm like, Peter's probably one of the, like, the most perfect people to, like, be a part of this thing. Cause we've known each other for a short time, but, like, I've never once seen you, like, even close to bummed or, like, down. It's always just you're here and you're like, let's just do the thing, let's have a good time, like, everything is uplit, like, let's go, like, whether we're working or we're just hanging out at Sean's or we're at a show, it's always just like, yo, what's up, like, everything is just like, oh, Peter's having, Peter doesn't have bad days, like, I'm sure you do, but, like, you don't bring that around, so it's just like, oh, you're just the perfect person to just be like a part of this. So, like, it's just one of those things where, it's you don't treat people like dollar signs. Like, you make sure everybody feels like people.
Yeah.
Where it's like, cool, we're going to make a cool thing because that's the right thing to do. Like, that's what it comes down to, is like, we want to make art. That's what we're here for. Yeah. Yep. People have, there has to be money transacted because people have to pay for things, but like, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, it's, that's second. Yep. Like, we'll worry about that, but like, let's just do the damn thing.
Yeah.
And make it as good as it can be.
Yeah.
For everybody.
I appreciate that. I think for me, it's, I think I've had all my bad days, or I've had my fair share of them. And my quick summary there that I've never quite gotten into on the podcast is that, like, through high school, I'm an athlete. We talked about the soccer last time, and that gets derailed by concussions. And so I end up missing like a year of school total, and just sitting in a dark room staring at a wall for a year. And it's like, no one has any hope for me. No one has any idea. And then that culminates with me going like, I want to play soccer, but like, medically, I'm not cleared. No doctor in their right mind would. But I'm going to start working out. I'm going to do this. And I think this is where like the hard-headedness that I was referencing earlier comes in. It's like, I had no right to play soccer, but I decided I'm not going to sit in this dark room anymore. I'm going to start running, and I'm going to go from running a quarter mile at the start of the summer to being the most fit kid on my team at the end of the summer. And to me, that was one of those like, oh, I don't need anyone. I'm just going to do this all myself. And of course, doing it all myself has done well for me in the context of building a business, but it's short-sighted and stressful and not perfect. And that's part of where the Something From Everyone comes in of like, yeah, I don't have to be on my own team. Like, I, it's important to be strong-willed. And but yeah, as we're talking about having no bad days, it's like, no, I think I just sat in my dark room for so long that it's like, oh, this is rock bottom. And anything above this is so far above rock bottom, right, that like, even a bad day is like, it's a damn good day, because I'm at least not sitting in a fucking prison of sorts, right?
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. And I think that, yeah, the blind euphoria thing makes sense to me. It's something I can attach to of like, yeah, I agree that there is some blind euphoria to life. Like, it's not all going to be perfect. And if you look too hard, you might not see the euphoria. But to some part, it's like, yeah, close your eyes and be happy, because generally things are better than they could be.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm maybe privileged to have that stance now that things are better, where I recognize that, yeah, there's an alternate version of me that never got out of that dark room and things don't seem like they could be any better. But like, yeah.
Well, it's crazy you say that, because I was thinking about too, and the whole butterfly effect of things, because if two very certain things don't happen in my life, I don't know if I ever meet Ryan, which in turn means I don't know if I'm ever even here.
Sure.
Because I was going through a really dark time in my, you know, I had anxiety and depression from like age 4, basically. And I know it was like a chemical imbalance in my brain. It's like my grandmother had a history of it. So I just kind of know, like, it was given to me.
Yep.
I can analytically look at my depression and realize kind of mostly where it comes from. And I kind of became a recluse. And a friend one night was like, hey, I was probably like 21, 22. He's like, hey, I'm going to go to this random party, and not like a crazy, like we're all drinking, smoking kind of party, but just sort of like a, hey, everyone's getting together.
Yeah.
And like, he didn't know like half these people, I don't think. He's just like, hey, you should come with me. It's like up in the boondocks. And, we went there, and again, this is me being in my house for months, not going out or anything, and just being like, I'm nervous, I'm anxious, I don't want to be out, kind of thing. And he dragged me there, and two people were playing guitar, and it's kind of where I just came up with this connection too, actually. They were playing guitar on a table, and they were singing an All-Time Low song, oddly enough. And
I was praying it was going to be the fun song.
No. And I just went up to them and started singing with them, didn't know who they were, and one of them ended up being this person, Corey, that me and Ryan know, and then me and Corey became friends.
Yep.
And ended up doing music, and then like it was like a small thing, didn't really end up being a thing. And then 2 years later or whatever, Corey hits me up, is like, hey, you still like doing music? Are you around to do music, kind of thing? And I was like, yeah, I got time. I just changed jobs. Like, I just left like the most toxic job, 9-to-5 job I've ever had in my life, and I have more free time. Fuck yeah, I want to do some music. And got together, like worked out pretty well. And then the very first show, I meet Ryan. So it's like, it's weird, the butterfly effect of stuff where like there's an alternate version of me that doesn't leave my bedroom.
Yep.
That is probably still there to this day, just dealing with depression and anxiety. And I still deal with that stuff, but like, it's a different, you know, you handle it differently. So the butterfly effect is insane in that case, where like there is a different version of me somewhere that never met Ryan and never met all, you know, I'm not in Chain Twist. I'm not, who knows what I'm doing right now. It's crazy how one little event can like change.
100%.
You know?
Yeah. When I'm finally like get it in shape to play soccer, there's a meeting with my doctor, and my doctor basically goes like, listen, I can't medically recommend this, but I understand that, like, as a human being, if I don't give you this opportunity, then you're going to be stuck in this place of bubble wrap of, like, oh, I can't do anything anymore. Yeah. And it's a similar thing of, like, yeah, medically, he probably shouldn't have cleared me. Medically, he probably should have been, like, listen, I know you want to, and I know it as an 18-year-old, this seems like your whole life, but, like, as an adult, I cannot co-sign you stepping back into harm's way given all this bullshit that we've been through so far. And it's like, thank goodness for that guy. And I didn't love that doctor for a lot of other reasons, but that is one thing I think he did great by me, is like, he recognized that, like, medically this might not be perfect, but, like, as a soul, I needed that. And yeah, that success, that confidence, I think then gives me the confidence to go out and try running my own business of, like, oh, I can do something. Even if I'm starting at what feels like the most zero baseline, it's like, yeah, just put time in, put effort in, and make that a priority every day. And yeah, you can change your life in ways that aren't really plausible at that day.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting how those little moments can sometimes come back to us.
Yeah.
And lead us all here with a new shirt in front of us. Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. Fire. We are just about to our hour. I want to touch on the Chainswitch show very quickly. Mm-hmm. So we got a show coming up February 10th in Wallingford. I guess my question for you guys, or the one I wrote down here, is like, what makes this better or different than past Chainswitch shows? And I guess part of the question there is like, is there something, as you look back at the couple shows you've played, is something you look back and go, fuck, like, I think the shows all went great. I'm sure on stage there's always a sense of like, someone was a little out of time, something was a little slow, something didn't quite feel right. Like, is there something we're actively working to optimize as we go into the next show?
You want to take this one?
I mean, we're always trying to be better because, like you said, yeah, like, there's always something that can be fine-tuned.
Yeah.
Leading into this show, we kind of touched on it last time I was on, where we have a new song that we're trying to work out and insert into the set list, so it's not going to be the same set list that we've been playing. Mm-hmm. We've been fiddling with the idea of possibly, like, you know, reworking order of songs and everything. So redoing, Dan's going to probably do, like, the little interludes in between stuff, kind of just rehashing things because it's not getting boring, but, like, at least for us, like, playing the same thing at practice all the time, like, it's cool to just kind of, like, bounce some stuff around. And if you have been coming to the shows and seen us multiple times, you're watching the same thing every time. It's the same songs, the same order, the same in-between. So, like, even, like, the talking in between, like, it's all the same thing. You're watching a just rehashed version of what happened last time we played. So it's constantly just fine-tuning, getting tighter as a band. Like, Josh is always coming up with new things, like, to play on guitar. Like, Joe will come
more
up with
guitar spins.
More guitar spins. Joe will come up with new bass stuff. So, like, the more we play these songs, the more it becomes that muscle memory thing where you're like, oh, let me, like, freeball this idea. Like, let me try this out and see how this works. So it's constantly just evolving on itself. But, yeah, more specifically, like, we're aiming to have at least one new song that may or may not be out, I guess.
It should be at least out audio-wise.
Yeah, like, we're talking about whether we want to just release the audio on Spotify and everything and then worry about the video after, so they don't have to be, like, tied together.
Yeah.
But we're trying to figure all that out. But, yeah, the main thing is we're trying to figure out the new song.
Is there anything, like, specific to your instruments? Like, as I'm learning drums, what I'm slowly realizing is, like, how much freedom there is within songs to, like, not play the parts. And so I'm curious, like, are you guys, as a guitarist, as a vocalist, and as a drummer, like, are there parts of the set that you're looking at going, like, ooh, could I play this fill differently? Could I change this? Or is there a part of, like, as a guitarist, as a vocalist, is there a note that you're trying to hit? Like, is there a personal metric of growth that is, like, for Chainswitch, it's get tighter, it's get better as a unit, but as Josh, as Ryan, mm-hmm. as humans who are sitting at their own stations, like, is there a little piece that you're focused on improving?
Yeah. Every practice, I think I change what I play just slightly every single time, just to see if there's something that works different. Mm-hmm. That, like, if I play this here, can I be crazier on stage? Can I, does it make the next part easier for me to play? Like, the new song we recorded, the thing about being, a vocalist and a guitarist is, like, what can I play and sing at the same time? And I feel like I'm pretty good at designing, like, things that I can play and sing at the same time. And that's what I always wanted to do, was, like, learn how to do both at the same time. But this new chorus, when it was reworked with Sean from Half Hearted, like, when we did it, we kind of, like, wrote it in the studio, changed it. I sang it. And then after singing, I was like, this is not a chorus that we ever played beforehand. Mm-hmm. So just even trying it the other night, I was like, oh, this is the notes I'm singing my brain trying to play this on guitar is also like, this is going to be a learning curve kind of thing. Like, and normally I've, like, me and Dan, when it comes to vocal stuff, kind of figure out, like, let's never put ourselves in a situation where we're like, have to trick our brains, but also let's make sure it's like interesting. But
yeah,
I'm always constantly trying to go and like look at which guitar part can I play here that makes me one of a better stage presence, but also makes it easier on me? Or is this something that more fun for me to play? Because to us, I always want the show to be a spectacle. I want people to see us and go like, holy shit, what are these guys doing? Why are they doing that? Why is that guitarist doing that? You know? So
that is the key.
Yeah.
For you behind the kit. Yeah. What is, what's something you're working on? What is there a part of the set? Is there a part of the song? Is there a fill that you always fumble through? Yeah. What are you working on?
Yeah. There's constantly parts where it's like, can I add just a little extra flair to it? I think every time we're at practice, it might be everybody's goal and no one says it, but like in my head, at least I'm like, I'm going to do this time around, I'm going to try this thing. And if I can get one person to like, look at me and go, what was that? Like while we were playing, then like, I'm like, cool. Okay. Like it's like everything, every time we play, it's like Josh will do something or Dan, like someone will do something and I'll like look up while playing and be like, yo, that was sick. That's Let's do that. Like that's the one. So it's constantly kind of like tweaking things and the chemistry experiment of how far can you push something before it's not the thing anymore? Because you need to keep, especially with all the songs already recorded and like out, like you can't change too much, but there is the creative freedom where you do not have to play the exact blueprint. So whether it's a different fill, like constructed differently or different cymbals or whatever it may be, it's constantly just kind of tweaking it to keep it fun for you, interesting to listen to, and not, not take over. Because I think especially as a drummer, it's important to understand where your time is, I guess. There's times where not a lot of stuff is happening and it's appropriate to maybe step the drums up a little bit. But then there's also times where it's not a lot is happening for a reason. Don't be showy. Don't be busy, because you're taking away. The more you do on drums, the more you're taking away from everybody else in your band. So it's like, I want to have fun and I want to show people that I'm a good drummer. But like a lot of the times being a good drummer is people not noticing that you're playing. Like just be in the pocket. It takes way more skill to be a pocket drummer than to like do all these crazy fills and stuff. So it's knowing what to do and what not to do.
Yep. That makes me feel better. I'm only a pocket drummer because I'm not
the best drummer on earth, Peter.
I'm a metronome, dude.
You are the best drummer on earth.
I only know one beat and I'll play that shit in 4/4 till I die.
It worked for
ACDC. It might be 60 BPM, might be 100 BPM. It'll be somewhere.
It worked for ACDC. It'll work for you.
But they're my gods. Hell yeah, Kings. That feels like a great place to call us a shit. So Blind Euphoria, new collection is out now. BlindEuphoriaCo.com.
Correct. Yep.
Fire. We got shirts up there. We got beanies up there. We got stickers up there. We got a letter from you, which I really like as a cool little detail. Yeah, I think I think it's always something I'm trying to figure out. I was like, how do I make this more personal? How do I further convince you that I'm only working for you here? And I like the handwritten note.
Well, that was the idea where, like, just to not drag it out more, but, like, what you're saying, it's like, you're not a dollar sign to us. It's like, we see your order come in.
Genuinely appreciate that you've bought from us.
We genuinely appreciate that you spent your hard-earned money, especially nowadays. Like, you spent money on us. We see your name come through, and we're like, that's a person who consciously saw something and was like, this is sick. I want to contribute to this.
Or even literally, there's so many things I would buy, and I'm just too lazy to go get my wallet from the other room. There's so many little things
I have to go. The fact that you were willing to go through, like, I have to type my credit card number in. What's my PayPal password? Like, all these things. Like, you took all those steps because you like the shirt enough. Like, the least we can do is try to reciprocate some token of appreciation where we can write out, rather than just, like, you get a confirmation email that we can put, like, thanks. And, like, literally, like, we can write thank you, insert name, like, to you for this.
And it's, I will say, too, every letter I do is different. I don't have a copy and paste thing. I legitimately, like, think it out and, like, write something different to each person and, like, maybe have, like, a cool little, like, message of, like, you know, like, a little positive thing or something. No, I don't want to ever be the same and feel corporate. Like, I could at least get a stamp and do it, but that's not fun. I like to just, like, handwrite it out and everything, even though my handwriting sucks. But
and that's where I think it's Sweetwater's company that sends candy with all their orders, and it's a similar thing. But, yeah, how do we just make sure you remember us. And also make sure that we know, that you know that we care about you. I love that. Yeah, I think our goal then for Blind Euphoria is to make your letter writing hell. I want you to sell so many shirts that these letters become
Josh
real.
We want carpal tunnel.
Yes, yes.
I would love to get carpal tunnel. If that's how I get it, I would love it to be because I have to write handwritten messages to everyone. That would be fantastic.
Hell yeah. That's the goal. Let's get Josh carpal tunnel. Blind Euphoria is out of carpal tunnel.
Carpal tunnel, Josh.
Hell yeah, kings. So blindeuphoria.com. We're going to go find some online. Where do they follow you online? Josh, we'll start with you. Where do they follow you online? Where do people check you out? Where can they tell you that you were awesome today?
My Instagram is Joshua X Roy. That's basically all I'm on because social media stresses me out. And
perfect.
Then I also half run the Blind Euphoria Instagram and the Chainswist one too. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Ryan_Abear on Instagram. I'll mess around on Twitter, I guess, but who cares?
Yeah.
Chainswist_ Blind Euphoria Co. on Instagram. Pretty much Instagram.
Are you all on TikTok yet?
Not for Blind Euphoria.
No.
I mean, Chainswist has an Instagram, TikTok, but like, I don't know how to do a TikTok for a
me
band.
Me neither.
It all stresses me out so
yeah.
much.
Yeah, like I try to do, me and Dan pretty much take over like the Chainswist stuff as far as internet goes because Joe's an adult and it stresses Josh out. So like we do,
Joe has kayaks to work
yeah,
on.
Yeah, Joe's got, whatever. He's got a house to build. But yeah, so we have a Chainswist TikTok.
Yeah.
It's like dumb memes basically.
Yep.
For the most part. So
every day I don't use TikTok, I kick myself going, fuck, I'm missing out, but I just...
But I don't know how to do it as a band. Yeah. Like, so it's
my
there.
Mental health is better for not doing it. So yeah.
Mine's shit because I do. Yeah. So follow it and make me feel better about it. Yeah, that's basically it. Chainswist awesome, Blind Euphoria. Me if you care. I get it if you don't.
What he said.
Perfect. Well, yeah. I think people should care. And if they do care, then yeah, please go tell the guys they did awesome. I appreciate you guys being like open and vulnerable. I think that's one of the things that I...
Only thing I know how to do.
I'm hoping it's a vulnerable part, not
just
the open
oversharing.
Part. No, I appreciate that. I think as I go back through episodes and as I reflect on episodes, the ones I've enjoyed the most are the ones where I felt like people were very forthcoming and vulnerable and willing to be open and honest about the nitty gritty and the glamorous. And I think, yeah, so much of our lives isn't as glamorous as we want to make it seem. So I appreciate when people can come on here and be candid about where they're at. So I appreciate you guys sharing stuff. I think it's, good for me to hear. And hopefully someone listening can also derive some value from it. So for those folks listening, leave these folks some positive feedback. Let them know that they're adorable and that you want to hear more from them. Go buy Blind Euphoria. I'll be wearing it fucking every day of my life if I can.
Send me a hate comment if you want to. It's all the same. Algorithm doesn't know, can't read.
Send the hate comments to Ryan. Let him figure that out. Ryan, I need to let you take us out of here on some great theory of yours. So we talked about how the Grand Canyon isn't real. We talked about the algorithm isn't real. I feel like you've asked, I want the cutting edge of bullshit coming out of your mouth. Yeah, what is a great place to leave folks
on?
What can I
randomly think of right now?
Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot as hell. But there's...
I mean, I can elaborate. Yeah, so I'm really big on conspiracy things because I think life sometimes is boring. And if we choose to not believe stuff...
I'm so scared about what's about to happen here, but I'm so excited.
You've opened up. It's going to be nothing bad. No, I just think it's more fun to believe really far-fetched things because there's part of me, I don't believe it either, but it's just more fun.
Okay, give me the fun.
Miami aliens thing, obviously it's not real, but isn't it a little fun to just be what if aliens were at the Miami mall?
No.
Just things like that. but yeah, to elaborate on my Grand Canyon ending last time, this is for, I don't care, whatever. No, I just make stuff up sometimes because it's fun and I have this reputation of having this. So I made this one up. This isn't real. But I started saying that the Grand Canyon has been artificially extended.
Okay.
The natural Grand Canyon is a thing and is hiding all the government secrets. And the government needed to have that. So to distract people from it, that's why there's all the don't hike past this point things, because that's where it all is. And if they dug a second Grand Canyon, that'd be too obvious to planes and stuff. Flying over, you'd see it. So they just artificially extended the main one, which is where all the tourist viewpoints are.
I don't know what's
happening
anymore.
Looking at the Grander Canyon instead of the Grand Canyon, and whatever, dude. It's just fun.
Hell yeah. BlindEuphoriaCo.com. That's a great place to wrap up, folks. Thanks for joining us. Episode 54, something for everyone. Maybe 53, depending on what happens this week.
I'm just ruined it. We're never going to have another episode.